Have you ever noticed how your confidence in approaching God fluctuates with your spiritual performance? On days filled with meaningful prayer, controlled temper, and pure thoughts, you feel worthy of God's blessing. But after missed devotions, harsh words, and wandering thoughts, you hesitate to come before Him at all. This common experience reveals a profound misunderstanding that plagues many believers. The belief that God's favor depends on our performance rather than Christ's finished work. The truth is revolutionary. Even on our best days, we fall short of God's perfect standard. And even on our worst days, His grace remains equally available because Christ fully satisfied God's justice on the cross. Most Christians mistakenly view their spiritual life in two distinct phases: the gospel for conversion, and discipleship for the already saved. This creates a dangerous dichotomy where we graduate from grace to the supposedly higher plane of performance. But there's something more fundamental than spiritual disciplines or service. We need to continue hearing the gospel every day of our Christian lives. Only a continuous reminder of God's grace through Christ will keep us from falling into performance-based thinking and provide the proper motivation for authentic holiness. Jesus told a parable contrasting a Pharisee who boasted of his spiritual accomplishments while judging sinners with a tax collector who simply pleaded for mercy. Jesus declared the humble tax collector justified, not the self-righteous Pharisee. This parable speaks to Christians who develop self-satisfaction by comparing themselves favorably with others. We become confident in our righteousness through having the right doctrines, reading the right books, or serving in ministry. While we focus on society's obvious sins, our real challenge often lies with refined sins, socially acceptable transgressions like judgmental attitudes, gossip, resentment, unforgiveness, and irritability. We've grown comfortable with these sins, forgetting that every transgression represents rebellion against God's authority and a despising of His word. What does it mean to preach the gospel to yourself daily? It means reminding yourself that righteousness, perfect conformity to God's law, is impossible to achieve on your own. The standard demands absolute perfection, as failing at one point makes you guilty of breaking all of it. Most people believe God accepts them because they're generally decent. Though Christians know salvation doesn't come through obedience, we often act as if our relationship with God depends on our performance. God provides righteousness through Christ, who fulfilled both the requirements and penalties of God's law. He accomplished what Adam failed to do and paid the penalty through his death. When God justifies us, He declares us righteous based on Christ's righteousness, credited through faith. This standing never changes with our performance. Unless we live daily by faith in His righteousness, our perception of our standing before God will fluctuate with our spiritual ups and downs. What does it mean that believers have died to sin? This is a past event for every true believer through our union with Christ. We were baptized into His death, buried with Him, united with Him in death, and our old self was crucified with Him. Through this union with Christ in His death, we died to both sin's legal reign and its dominion. This doesn't mean we no longer sin, but that sin no longer reigns over us. We must distinguish between sin's activity, present in all believers, and sin's dominion, broken for every Christian. We are also alive to God in Christ Jesus. We've been rescued from darkness and brought into Christ's kingdom through our vital union with Christ, an organic connection like branches to a vine. Through this union, we participate in the divine nature. Both our salvation from sin's penalty and sanctification from sin's dominion come entirely by God's grace. Our holiness depends on God delivering us from sin's dominion and uniting us with Christ. Have you ever considered how discipline and grace work together? What appears contradictory, discipline by grace, reflects a profound spiritual truth. Titus 2:11-12 teaches, "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people, It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives. Those God saves, He disciplines. Our spiritual growth depends not on our initiative, but on God who began a good work in you and will carry it on to completion. Though we must respond, God takes ultimate responsibility. Grace's discipline works in two ways, teaching us to reject ungodliness while instructing us to live godly lives. Like scissors needing both blades, we must simultaneously put off sinful practices and put on godly traits. It's grace, not law, that disciplines us. Many Christians mistakenly view the Bible as merely a rule book without providing power to obey. But God's training operates through grace, forgiveness through Christ's work, and the Spirit's power to overcome sin. Like a caterpillar becoming a butterfly, Christians undergo spiritual transformation through sanctification. This process begins with regeneration at conversion, when God plants new spiritual life within us, and continues as the Holy Spirit frees us from sin and develops Christ's character in us. The goal is Christ-likeness. Paul says we are being transformed into His likeness and predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son. Jesus is our pattern. He loved righteousness and hated sin itself, not just its consequences. He lived solely for the Father's will, even delighting in sacrificial obedience. While we have responsibilities, the Holy Spirit is the primary agent transforming us from within. Paul specifically mentions beholding the glory of the Lord as transformative. This glory appears in the gospel, where God's seemingly contradictory attributes harmonize: righteousness with grace, justice with mercy, power with love. Understanding gospel truth is essential for sanctification. When we grasp our complete forgiveness in Christ, we pursue holiness from security rather than fear. Christians need both discipline and dependence for holiness, like an airplane requires two wings. Discipline involves training ourselves in godliness while completely depending on the Holy Spirit's power. Scripture consistently pairs dependence with responsibility. Psalm 127:1 shows the Lord building the house while laborers work. In Philippians 4:11-13, Paul actively learned contentment through Christ's strength, not passive reception. The phrase, "let the Lord live His life through me," suggests problematic passivity. When struggling with difficult people, I realized God wasn't loving through me, but enabling me to love. We're active participants empowered by God, not passive vessels. Prayer demonstrates our dependence. A weak prayer life reveals self-reliance. Psalm 119 shows balanced, dependent discipline, praying for guidance while internalizing God's Word. The pursuit of holiness resembles a quilt with squares of discipline, dependence, commitment, and beholding Christ sewn through obedience. Like athletes training physically, we must train spiritually through daily choices, remembering transformation comes from God's grace working within us.